saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out my spirit in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. See, everybody, God is going to give everybody a chance to prophesy. So it's just senseless for people to say, oh, the prophets is done away with. There's no prophecy. There's no more spiritual gift. Well, if we're talking about the last days, and if God is talking and he says he's going to pour out his spirit on all these people, then who are you calling a lie? Saints of God, watch what you say. Watch what you believe. You know, just like God used Daniel and Joseph to interpret dreams, he's that same God, and he can use you. He can use you too. But you have to be willing. You have to be ready, you know, for the master's use. He can't use unholy folks. He can't use unclean, unholy vessels. People that are obedient, living and keeping his commandments and his laws and all of his statutes, those are the people he can use. It's time for the church to come back to God by following the works, and the works that he called us to do. The works of Jesus in the red letters of the Bible. This is what we should be following, saints of God. We have to eat the whole loaf. The whole loaf. Not just a slice of the bread. Amen. But the whole loaf. This is what we're required to do. This is what God has called us to do. If we want to walk in excellence before God and witness his miracle working power, we're going to have to straighten our lives up. Stop messing around and mingling with the world. Stay on our knees so that God will give us strength, knowledge, and understanding of how we must walk each day of our life and how we must rule and control the world fairly and justly according to his word. Satan's not in charge. The church is in charge. And we better begin to get busy right now. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, if you have it, say amen. begin reading now. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the full faith of a mother. The full faith of a mother. Now, the Bible starts off in this phrase saying, it fell on a day. And that phrase simply means that this certain thing happened on a specific day. This specific thing happened. It says this phrase in verse 8. It says it again in verse 11. And it says it once again in verse 18. And so each time it says it fell on a day, something happened that was unusual. Something happened that was significant to this story. But let me begin by saying the Bible calls this woman in verse 8 a great woman. It was not just because of her nobility. It was not just because of her assets and her holdings and her material blessings. But the Bible calls this woman great because of her faith. God is always moved by great faith. You remember Jesus teaching to his disciples, and a centurion who was not even a Christian, who had heard of Jesus, perhaps witnessed the miracles of Jesus, had faith so great that he told Jesus when his servant was at home sick of the palsy to speak the word only, because he was not worthy that he should come under his roof. Jesus was so moved by this great faith that he said, I have not seen so great a feat faith, no, not in all Israel. I just want to share with you that great faith moves God. Somebody say, great faith moves God. I want you to say it with me, because I want you to hear yourself saying, great faith moves God. And what you need to know is your faith, just like exercising, increases your muscles, your stamina, your ability to not only be strong, but to stay strong. Your faith can be increased as well. When Jesus told his disciples that you need to forgive men 7 times 70, Peter said, Lord, increase our faith. I might be able to forgive them one time, maybe 3 times. And I know 7 is your perfect number. I might be able to forgive them 7 times. But Jesus said, no, let's start at 7 and multiply that time 70. 490 times. Well, listen, by the time you keep on forgiving, you've forgotten count. What Jesus is saying, I don't want you to count the issues against your brothers and sisters. It's easier for you to forgive them than it is for you to hold on to a grudge. All right. Peter said, Lord, increase our faith. So faith is so relevant and so imperative to the believer receiving the things that God wants them to receive. Now, this great woman, she saw the man of God. In America or in English, we call his name Elisha. But in the Hebrew, it's Elisha. And so she saw him passing in front her and her husband's house, going to the mountain to fellowship and consecrated fellowship with God. And when he would pass her house, it was impressed upon heart to invite the man of God in to have supper with she and her husband. And so she impressed upon him to come in and dine on his way to and on his way from. And after having supper with her, she perceived that he was a holy man of God and asked her husband, can we build a chamber on the side wall that leads up to what is called an upper room, where he can not only turn in to eat with us, but he can lie down and rest himself going and coming from the mountain. And so the husband agreed to do that. And so they built a chamber for him, put in there a bed, put in there a stool, put in there a table, and put in there a lamp and a lampstand, a candlestick rather. And so she furnished it for him because it was simply to give him an opportunity to rest. The man of God was so moved by her hospitality and by her graciousness that he called his servant Gehazi to ask the woman, what could he do for her? May I tell you, one good deed deserves another. He was so touched by her good deed that he wanted to do something good for her. And so he said, go and ask her, would she like for me to speak on behalf of the king, or would she like me to speak to the captain of hosts, the captain of the army? And she said to Gehazi, the servant, tell him, no, thank you. I dwell among my own people. In other words, she was saying to him, what I did for you, I did out of the goodness and the graciousness of my heart. I didn't do it looking for anything in return. And I got to tell the people of God, when you learn how to give with that kind of heart, God always turns the situation around to bless you one way or another. And so it moves on to years later. Now, this is the first portion in verse 8 to verse 23. The man of God says, listen, Gehazi, you check her out and you tell me what you think she needs. Gehazi said, well, as I look at it, she doesn't have a son, a child, and her husband is old. And I don't know if she's barren or he can't have a child, but I know they don't have none. And that was a curse upon her life because she was seen as a barren woman who could not produce. And so therefore, he wanted to take that curse off her life and bless her with one of the greatest blessings on earth, and that was the offspring of her womb. And so he told her to come. And she came and he said, listen, by this time next year, according to the time of life, you're going to have a son. You're going to hold him in your hand. She said, nay, my Lord, don't lie. Don't lie to your handmaiden. Next thing the Bible says is next year she brought forth a son. That's the difference between a prophecy and a prophet lie. She probably had heard a lot of prophet lies, but this was a true man of God. She had already spoken that, and he gave her a true prophecy. So it moves on, and 12 years later, the little boy is going out in the field to meet his father and the reapers because it's harvest time, and they have a great field, and so they are reaping the harvest. Scholars say that when he called out saying, Father, my head, that he undoubtedly had a sunstroke, because in the Eastern culture and countries, it is very hot, far beyond mostly in our area of the world. And so he called for the young lad to bring him to his mother. So the young lad brings him to his mother in the house. And there he sat on his mother's lap, laid his head on her lap. And the Bible says at 12 noon, he died. He died. But I want you to look at this woman of God. Now, I want you to see what she has done, first of all. She has positioned herself, I've obviously no doubt, while her son is on her lap. She's praying for him. She's interceding for him. She's talking to God. She is utilizing her faith. And yet he dies. And so she takes the boy and she brings him upstairs to the upper room, to that part that they built on for the man of God. And she lays him down on the prophet's bed. And she walks out the room and shut the door and come back down. And she sends word to her husband, send me a donkey and a young man that I might go and see the man of God. And so the husband said to her, verse 23, well, it's neither new moon nor Sabbath day. In other words, how can you see the man of God? Because it was off limits for them to disturb the man of God when he was in consecrated fellowship and prayer on the people's behalf on the mountain talking to God. They could only come on the new moon or they can only come on the Sabbath day. And the husband said, it's neither. Now, I want you to look at what the word says in verse 23. She said, it shall be well. What does that mean, it shall be well? Well, it simply meant two things. One, it meaning her going to the prophet shall be well because she shall be received. And then she says, it shall be well concerning her son because he shall be raised. Stick with me. I'm taking my time because I want you to get this. Now, from verses 8 to 23, what she does is she decrees and she declares that it shall be well. What she did was she chose to operate in her faith rather than her feelings. Can I tell the people of God today, every time trouble hits your life, you've got a choice to make. Will I operate in faith or will I operate in my feelings and in my emotions? This woman chose to operate in her faith. Because God is not moved by tears and by crying and by moaning and by groaning and by complaining. He's moved by faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so when she decreed that, she put that in the courts of the heavenlies. God heard that. And it pleased God. Because her son is dead in the prophet's bed. And she said to her husband, it shall be well. So I need to see first thing that we need to take note of here today. One, that her faith changed, listen, her feelings and her focus. Her faith changed her feelings and her focus. You know the woman was upset her son died 12 years old on her lap. She prayed to God. She talked to God. I don't care how or how old your child is, when you lose a child, when a child is buried before you, something happens to you that only heaven understands. And her feelings were at a point where she could have allowed her emotions to take over and started crying and having fits and called the man of God a liar because she did ask him not to lie to her. And you're going to see in the next cluster of scriptures, she said to him, the man of God, did I ask you not to deceive me? Now you can tell by the fact that she changed the word from lie to deceive was the fact that her feelings had changed. I wish I had a witness. And so now she's not focusing on her feelings. She's focusing on her faith. Not her dead son, but her raised son. She's looking at and believing God that though he lies on the prophet's bed, that's only going to be for a little while. My son will live again. Now listen, verse 24 to 31 tells the story that she tells her husband to send a young man in an ass and tell the young man, ride this donkey until I tell you to slow down. And she rode that donkey, and she rode him and rode him and rode him. And the prophet looked from the mountain and saw her coming and told his servant Gehazi, go down, and that's the Shunammite woman from the town of Shunem. Go ask her three questions. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? And is it well with your child, your son? And when Gehazi met her on the road coming to the mountain, he asked her these three questions. Now she moves from having decreed a thing to declaring it. Look at what she says in verse 26. She says, it is well. Son's still dead at home. She hadn't talked to the prophet on the mountain. But she's declaring to the servant who came to ask her the question from the man of God, is it well with you? And she declares, it is well. Now this is her faith following through what she believed was going to happen. So now, from verse 24 to verse 31, not only do you have her speaking in faith, decreeing and declaring, but now you have her seeking in faith. She's seeking what she has spoken. Why? Because she believes that she's going to have what she says. Secondly, her faith changed not only her focus and her feelings, but her faith changed the facts. What was a fix of her faith was now changed because of her focus. My brothers and sisters, there are fixes we get in that we don't ask for, that we don't put ourselves in, that we didn't even expect. But we've got to recognize we can choose to operate in the flesh or we can operate in faith. I got news for you. Flesh ain't gonna make nothing better. But faith can change facts. I said faith can change facts. I need you to understand that faith can change the fact that that boy is dead, but he shall live again. I need you to know that faith can change what the canker worm has destroyed, that God can restore. I need you to know faith can change what the devil stole from you. Faith can return it seven times greater. I need you to know faith can change all of the bad things into good things, because the word says, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So her faith changed her fix and her F-A-T-E, fate, circumstances by which you have no control over. Now here's what I want to throw out here. You might not have no control over it, but God does. God can conquer, change, and control every situation in your life. Yes. And so she makes it up to the mountain where she was not supposed to be. It was off limits to her. It was forbidden. But she goes up anyway. Why does she do this? Because full faith has the ability to override protocol. Full faith has the ability to change the arrangements. Full faith has the ability to pull you from the back of the line and put you next in line. Full faith has the ability to have God, in the midst of what he's doing, stop, not only hear you, but answer your prayer. You remember I shared this morning, the woman with the issue of blood? Protocol says she was supposed to cry out, unclean, 300 feet. Before getting in the presence of people. But her faith was of such a nature that she said to herself, she decreed and declared, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She didn't go and stand in the back of the line. She went up to the front of the line. And as it were, she stood right behind Jesus. Not even in front of him. He didn't even see her. She didn't ask for permission for a healing. She didn't ask for permission for a conference. She didn't ask for permission of a touch to lay hands on her, to put oil on her. She just touched him according to her faith. And when she touched him, the power, the virtue, left out of his body and went into her body, and she was instantly healed. Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples, Lord, you see all these people around you. You gonna ask who touched you? Jesus said, no, I'm talking about somebody touched me who had faith, and full faith. So much so, they didn't even ask permission for their healing. They just took it. You have read where the kingdom suffered violence and the violent taketh it by force. Do I have any Bible readers who understand what I'm saying? You get to the point when your faith is full, you don't have to do what other folk who have fumbling faith and unfull faith have to do. You can go right to that place where your faith takes you to and get from God what it is you believe he will do for you. And so this woman went up to the mountain, and she fell at the feet of the man of God and grabbed him by the feet. No doubt at this point, God revealed how sorrowful she was, grieved she was. His servant moved up to pull her away from him. I mean, she wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. And secondly, she sure wasn't supposed to be touching him. He told Gehazi, leave her alone. She's grieved, and God hath not revealed that to me. I didn't see it. I didn't sense it. And God didn't say anything about it. Her faith was so full, it bypassed the man of God and went straight on to God. Somebody missed that. I said it was so full that it bypassed the man of God and went straight to God, so much so that God permitted her to do all of the things that the person who didn't have full faith could not do. And so she tells the man of God, and the man of God tells his servant Gehazi, take my staff and lay it on the child's face and let's see what happens. So he takes the staff and he runs on the way to meet the young man lying in the prophet's bed. But the mother said, sir, as the Lord liveth, I'm not going nowhere.